You know, I really appreciate you all for being with us as we talk about this problem that troubles so many people, as I definitely appreciate Lisa Brown for speaking with me about it. You know, one of the things that I was asking Lisa, because and again, in reference to something that you told us that I think is so important for us to remember, is that depression is something that becomes depression. It doesn't start out that way. It starts out as something smaller, that's a little lighter in weight, and builds up into this huge mountain of depression over time.
That's right.
What was one of the earlier indicators for you that something just wasn't right? And then what led you to the point where you said, you know what, I have got to get help?
Well, for me, it was periods of prolonged sadness. It started out with prolonged sadness, and then it moved to feelings of hopelessness, despair, despondency. And that kind of took over and made everything dark. I didn't so much lose interest in work. Work actually became my escape. So I wasn't someone who laid in the bed for days at a time with the TV on and not eating. It was more so just perpetual sadness for me. But that's one of the key symptoms. And for other people, their depression manifests in anger and irritability, loss of sleep, which I suffered from quite a bit, and still do to some extent, but that's for different reasons. Appetite, loss of appetite and energy, difficulty thinking and concentrating, a lack of pleasure in the things that you used to once enjoy. Those are all very common symptoms. But also, depression also manifests itself in physical symptoms, things like perpetual headaches and, you know, digestive disorders and stomach pain and just aches. The physical manifestation of depression is referred to as somatization. And that's where your physical, your emotional and mental despair translates into a physical symptom. So those are important things for folks to know and be aware of as they consider their own feelings and get the help that they need. And so for me, I knew that I needed help when my funk, as I, you know, we like to call it, the blues, lasted more than a couple of weeks. Because if they do last for more than a couple of weeks, there's something happening. And for me, it was week after week, month after month, year after year. My depression lasted 5 years, which felt like a lifetime. And so when it just kept going on and on and on and never seemed to get better, I said, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I just got tired. I got tired of feeling bad. I got tired of every day being dark. I got tired of feeling a sense of sadness and despondency. And I begged God to give me my life back. I was actually on vacation with my husband celebrating our 10th anniversary, where I should have been happy. We were on a cruise and carefree. I wasn't. And I was sad. And I pretended like I was having a good time. And then toward the end of the cruise, I got up on the ship, the deck, on one of the upper decks toward the back of the ship. There wasn't a lot of traffic. And I just sat and I pleaded with God to give me my life back. I said, I cannot take this anymore.
At that point, were you convinced or even considering that you may have been depressed?
Oh, I knew I was. I knew at that point this wasn't normal. This wasn't healthy. And as I looked around at other people, and they looked like they were having a good time and being happy, and I couldn't connect with that. I said, wait a minute, something's wrong.
Wow. And you said you couldn't even connect with what you were seeing, the happiness that you were seeing around you.
Not at all. I was on the outside looking in.
And so you realized something had to give. You needed help. Pleaded with God to give your life back. It was great that you were able to remember life before depression.
Mm-hmm.
And God answered. How did the answer start coming?
Well, I'm going to say this for at the risk of, you know, for some people it's sounding a little hokey, but I sat on that ship's deck for probably 2 or 3 hours. It felt like a much longer period. And I stared at the water, and I talked to God. And I begged until I could hear his voice. And he said, "You're going to be okay. I've got you." And I came back home from that trip and began to really take some serious steps to get healthy. Step by step, I made a phone call. I sought help. I went to counseling, and session after session, she gave me the tools and the techniques to get better. And I took her advice, and I followed her counsel. I prayed. I was intentional about my recovery to the point where I was able to stand on my own. And each day, the sun got brighter. Each day, I felt a little more connected than the day before. It was a process, and it is a process. For people who suffer from depression, this is not an overnight take a pill and you're better. And there are some people who do need to take medication. I want to mention that because there are some people who need to go that route to get them out of that place. I am neither for nor against medication. I'm not a physician, and so I don't want to speak out of my area of expertise. But that wasn't my situation. I did not go the medicine route or the medication route. I thought healing through counseling, through prayer, and through intentional effort.
And you mentioned that in addition to the counseling, the prayer that you were doing yourself, you mentioned earlier that there were others who came alongside and helped you as well, your family, members of the church. What specifically did other members of the church do that helped you?
You know what? They were there. They didn't know they were helping me, but they were. You know, they would look at me and say, "Oh, I'm praying for you," or squeeze my hand, or someone would sing a song that ministered to my spirit, or a word would be spoken by the pastor that lifted me up. So they had no clue they were helping me because they didn't know there was a problem.
Yeah.
Same thing with my family. They really didn't know. And as close as I am to my family, I chose not to tell them because I felt that they wouldn't understand and that it was in conflict with the role that they had assigned to me as a member of my family. I was the go-to person. I was the one that people came to for business advice in particular. I was the outspoken one, the one who had a strong opinion about most things. And so who would think to go to Lisa and encourage her? She was the one who usually encouraged others. And so that, you know, they didn't know that they were helping me, but they were. And I'm grateful for it.
Wow. And, you know, you mentioned that, Lisa, the fact that you were the go-to person. I think that one of the lessons that we need to learn from that, as you've talked with us this entire time, is that, yeah, there are people who really, really are strong, but even the strongest can be weakened over time.
That's
if
right.
They're constantly giving out and not having someone put back in.
Right.
And so even though a person be strong, we need to make sure that we're there for them to help put something in them so that hopefully we can help them stay strong and they don't find themselves in a place where it seems like life is about to come to an end.
Mm-hmm. One of the other important things to, as you deal with depression is to be authentic. And it's hard when you're in it. But once, if you observe somebody who looks like they don't have it all together, give them permission to not have it all together.
Wow. Yeah.
And when you give them permission and you look them in the eye and say, "It's okay. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to have it all together," you release that person from the bondage of silence that prevents them from getting the help that they need.
Yeah.
So it's really critically important that if you see somebody suffering, free them up by telling them it's okay, that they don't have to have it all together. Nobody told me that. And so I was my own worst enemy.
And
I
that
drank
makes
the Kool-Aid.
So much sense.
I drank the Kool-Aid, you know, and I think a lot of us are drinking our own Kool-Aid. That's right.
I hear you. Because you know what? We're human. We're not God. We're human. And so none of us can be strong all the time.
That's right.
So I like that. Give a person permission to not have it all together the time.
And give yourself permission.
Yes.
You know, start there. That's the first step to freedom.
Wow.
Is authenticity.
I like that. Again, strong on the outside, dying on the inside. They can get it at any of their bookstores. They can get it online. Going to strongontheoutside.com.
That's right.
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com. Any of the major retailers, it's available.
They don't necessarily even have to leave home.
Exactly right. Nobody has to know that they're ordering the book. If they're still, you know, in conflict about somebody knowing, start by reading the book. And then I pray that my story and my experience is a strength to you if that's where you are in life right now.
I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. And for those who are listening, seek the help that you know that you need. You know you need help. And if you know that, get some help. Reach out to somebody so that you can get back to a life of freedom.
I like that. Get back to a life of freedom. Lisa M. Brown. And again, the book is Strong on the Outside, Dying on the Inside. Much continued success to you, Lisa, in every area of your life.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Y'all stay with me. I'll be back.
All right.